For April 30th, 2007, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Lullabot Podcast.
Hey, that's not the Lullabot theme song. Yes. Well, so the story goes like this. I've got a friend who was going to, I don't know if he is still going to or was or will or might still. So I hope I'm not stealing any thunder. And if I am, Lane, I apologize. But I wrote a theme song for his podcast, which was going to be deprecated. But then when going to be called deprecated, then we were going to call this podcast deprecated and talk about deprecated things in and around the Drupal project. And I thought, I've got this song just sitting there, and I don't think Lane's using it, so I brought it in here, and that's what it is. So,
and it rocks.
Well, it's got. You know, it's got Speak and Spell in it, so you can't complain about that, I guess.
It's 80s-tastic.
it's the another edition of the Lullabot Drupal podcast, and I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with...
Robert Douglas.
And...
Angie Byron.
And also...
Jeff Eaton.
And Robert, I want to thank you for doing the podcast last week. It was so great. It wasn't last week, 2 weeks ago. We were, as you said on the podcast, we were all in Providence doing the workshop, and you weren't able to make it to the workshop, but you did the podcast and did a great job. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And the workshops went great. We had a great time in Providence. Always a great time in Providence. They sold out again. We've got a good thing going with the workshop selling out, I think the next workshop scene that we're gonna do, I think we're gonna do what are we calling them? The Lullabot Summer Weekend Workshops, Workshop Weekend. We'll come up with some sort of a catchy tagline for something. But we're gonna do like weekend workshops, a little like 2 day. Workshop kind of things, sort of around the country, in the United States, probably once a month, see how those go. So, stay tuned to lullabot.com for that. Let's talk a little bit about, news. What other news is going on in the land of Drupal?
Matt's book rocks.
Yes. Yeah. You want to talk about that, Jeff?
Yeah, sure. The Pro Drupal development book that was released just a little bit ago has rocketed up the Amazon sales charts and was number 87 on all of Amazon. And as you had mentioned earlier, that includes like Harry Potter and Oprah and now Drupal. So Drupal is an excellent company.
Yes, I guess so. It's not a wizard. It's not a talk show host. It's a content management system.
But yeah, it's just been spectacular. The response to it is amazing. They sold out of their first printing, like within days of it going on sale. And I think it's really exactly what the Drupal community has really been waiting for, because there's so much knowledge that's floating around there, and this book just really distilled a lot of incredible aha moments and just understanding about the entire system, not just individual pieces of code, but like the whole big picture and how everything works together. And it's, you know, if you're trying to figure out how Drupal works, or if you've only messed around with like one little piece of it, this is the one that brings it all together. It's awesome.
Yeah. I have been really impressed just, you know, cracking up. I'm obviously not a very objective person about this. I mean, Matt Westgate, who is the co-author of that book, is also the co-founder of Lullabot. And so, you know,
I didn't people, say those things because he's my boss.
I know. People should take what I say with a grain of salt. However, the book is awesome. And I hadn't had a chance to really read it. Robert Douglas, you were a technical editor on the book, right?
Yeah, that was great fun. I learned just an enormous amount by reviewing the code and the examples that they had written.
Yeah, yeah. And A-Press is the same company that published your book, which was the first Drupal book, right?
That's right, Building Online Communities. And they've been long-term supporters of the Drupal project. They were the first publishing house out there to see the value in Drupal and to kind of align their efforts behind it and follow the developments in the community. To support Drupal, they've given copies of this book, the Pro Drupal Development book, to each of the Summer of Code students that we have this year. So that's 20 copies that they're sending out to students around the world to help them write code for Drupal all summer, and we're very grateful to A-Press for that support.
So let's segue into the Summer of Code. How's that going? I guess all of the projects that were put together were accepted by Google. Is that right?
Well, yeah. It turns out that we were given 20 slots, so we had many more applicants than that, of course.
Okay.
But so the top 20 applicants were accepted, and those students are now in the process of refining the scope of their projects and communicating with their mentors. And the date for actually starting coding is May 28th, I believe. And then they've got the next 3 months to finish the project. So it's kind of a laid-back time right now. The students are finishing up their semesters, ostensibly, and, you know, preparing to do the work. And this is really a good thing that Google built that into the system, because the tempo in the years past has been just really breakneck. The time between applying, acceptance, and beginning was really short, and this is much better this way.
Cool. And if people want to find out more about the Summer of Code, they can go to groups.drupal.org. Is that the best place to go to find out?
That's the best place to follow Drupal developments, but Angie is actually the one who's running planet-soc.com. Uh-huh. We're running it together, but she's doing more of the day-to-day work on it, and that's an aggregator for not only the Drupal projects, but for all of the people who are involved with Summer of Code from other projects as well, like KDE or GNOME or the Apache Foundation. So you can learn a lot about what's going on in the larger world of Summer of Code from planetsoc.com.
Cool. And yeah, I don't know exactly. If you go to groups.drupal.org, how would you find the Summer of Code group? Is it
SOC-2007, I think.
groups.drupal.org/SOC. -2007. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Great. Rock. Awesome. What else are we talking about? Man, I take 1 week off and I'm don't know how to run a podcast anymore. Jeepers. Hey, hey, I committed a bunch of modules yesterday. I think on the podcast a few podcasts ago, I was talking about wanting to make messages flash, Drupal messages flash on the screen, and I got an email from Stephen Wittens setting me straight on sort of how to get the later version of jQuery to work with Drupal and stuff like that. And I ended up writing a series of modules to sort of help with that process to make it easier for other people. I wrote a module called jQuery Update, which you can find at drupal.org/projects. /jQuery_update. And that basically allows you to install the latest version of jQuery into Drupal. Drupal comes bundled with jQuery. I should mention that is the JavaScript library that's bundled with Drupal, and it's jQuery version 1.0.1 is the version that comes with Drupal core, and this module allows you to. It actually comes with the module comes along with jQuery 1.1.2, I think is what the current version of jQuery is as of this podcast. And it sort of provides some guidance on how to replace the core JavaScript and core jQuery and stuff like that, sort of makes it so that things work right. So the goal here was just to get messages to flash, but then I had to upgrade core jQuery, and then also you need jQuery that has a sort of a plug-in library called Interface, which allows a lot of effects to happen, things to move around. It's got like a drag and drop library and a bunch of really cool stuff. It's a really great library for jQuery. But philosophically, it seemed like that should probably have a central module that implements it, so that if multiple modules wanted to do things built on the interface library, it would be good to have them all reference the same JavaScript file and not include their own or different versions of interface JavaScript and stuff. So now there's a module called jQuery_interface, which you can find at drupal.org/project/jQuery_interface. And then finally, and last but not least, the goal of this whole thing was my message effects module, which you can find at drupal.org/project/message_FX. And that will actually allow you to do the 37 signals style fade yellow technique on your messages. Basically, you know, the Drupal messages are like the things on the screen that say like, your node has been saved. Well, it doesn't say node. Your content has been saved. There was an error in your thing and stuff like that. So I think that a lot of novice users tend to miss those things depending on how your theme is set up. So this is a way to sort of centralize getting those things to do some stuff. So there you go. That's my three modules. That's really just one module, but
This to make messages flash.
I know. But now we've got a centralized way of upgrading jQuery and core, and a centralized way of implementing the interface library, which incidentally I was instant messaging with John Resig, who's the author of jQuery and has been on this podcast, and he said that there's a new version of Interface that's coming out pretty soon, Interface 2, that's a whole lot smaller and more efficient and,
ooh, cool,
and stuff like that. So yeah, because Interface, like, for people that don't know, jQuery is what, like 12K or something like that. It's smaller than most graphics on the web, and you get a whole lot of JavaScript functionality that you can build off and do a lot of things with. However, the interface library I think is like 80K or something, and so from that super small perspective of like there's very little overhead on including this on the page, interface feels a little bit larger and more bloated, but I'm guessing from what John's saying that it's going to get a lot more svelte very soon. So,
big fan of the svelte modules.
Yeah. You committed a really cool bit of stuff recently, Jeff.
Yeah, the voting actions module. The idea is that there's voting API, which allows all kinds of different modules to do like voting and rating and stuff like that, and all of the actual, you know, cast this vote stuff gets piped through this backend API that stores everything in the same fashion so that you can like switch from one voting module to the other without going through the all kinds of nastiness. It's neat. Then there's the actions module, written by John Van Dyke, and I believe there's another co-maintainer, but I know he's one of the big principles behind it. It lets any module trigger little tiny encapsulated actions like promoting a node to the front page or adding it to a particular queue of nodes or setting the moderation flag on it or emailing the administrator with a particular, like, you know, prefab message, or, you know, just all kinds of things like that. Little bits of action that you might want to happen when something else is triggered in the system. Actions module lets those things get abstracted out. So your module can just say, okay, here's a list of actions that you can pick from when X happens, rather than having all those hard-coded. Well, voting actions module was originally written for Drupal 4.7, and it let you wire up whenever a vote was cast, you could have certain actions triggered by that, like promoting something to the front page. It was pretty rudimentary, and because of the limitations in it and some rather clunky code that I had written for it, I never ended up directly upgrading that to Drupal 5. And I didn't realize it, but apparently there were more people who wanted it and already used it than I had expected, and they were sort of, you know, carrying pitchforks and torches and, you know, saying, "Oh, upgrade this to Drupal 5. And I was like, oh, nuts. So a big rewrite ensued, and it was finally upgraded to Drupal 5, and there are a lot of new capabilities there. You can set up really elaborate actions to say things like, if the average vote for a piece of content is at least 75 and everybody rated it above 20 and the author of this piece of content has these permissions, then promote it to the front page and send email announcing it to the author. And, you know, just it lets you wire up a bunch of those different kinds of conditions so that it's pretty much the engine you would be able to use behind a, like, make your own dig in Drupal kind of site. And it's very customizable, so it's all kinds of niftiness, and it's currently in beta. And if you're interested in checking it out, you can go to drupal.org/project/voting_actions.
I've been looking forward to this module for a long time. I think one of the first people who started bugging you about feature requests a long time ago.
I was particularly impressed with the user interface of it. That for people that don't know, Jeff Eaton was one of the people behind the Drupal form API, which is a complicated system in itself.
And it's sneaky.
It's sneaky. It's a little sneaky. It's very flexible, but can be very confusing for people. And one of the things I think that people particularly find to be difficult about it is sort of manipulating it to output in different ways and sort of, you know, as confusing as it's a combination of two things that people find particularly confusing in Drupal. One, theming, and the other, forms. And when you come to theming forms, it gets particularly confusing. But you did some really cool stuff with getting things to output, like a line of text fields and stuff like that. So for people who are also sort of curious about different ways to do stuff with the form API, take a look at that module, even if you aren't thinking of using it, because Jeff's kind of the man when it comes to that stuff.
Well, the funny part is that the actual back-end engine that it uses for processing actions and conditions was actually written about a year ago, but I couldn't figure out how to do the UI for it. So writing the UI for it and figuring out how to manage that actually was the bulk of the work for voting actions module. So it's a happy thing to actually have that in a very near completion state. Fixing is a lot easier than figuring out how to do it.
Now we know your secret.
Dope.
This is probably where we should play the deprecated theme right here before we go into the deprecated. But we already played it. Whatever. It's less editing on my part. So let's talk about deprecated things. Did we define it? Did we define deprecated?
I don't think we did.
Well, let's do.
Do you want to use the one from the other recording, or do you want to go through it again?
We might as well just go through it again. It's easier to just... let's just go through it again. So before we get into the whole deprecated section of this podcast, maybe we should give a little information about what the word deprecated means, and means in the context of this podcast. Robert, do you want to hit that one?
Sure. For anybody who's not neck deep in software development, you might not have ever heard the word deprecated, but software developers use the word deprecated to talk about a feature or a piece of code in some software that has been deemed to be old-fashioned or no longer wanted, but you can't take it away yet because it would break the software. So what you do is you say that it's deprecated. That means don't use it or use it at your own risk, because eventually it's going to go away or it's not going to be useful anymore. It usually happens whenever something new or better comes along that does the same thing, only better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what's deprecated out there. The blink tag? maybe people who are probably people who are listening who might not be as familiar with Drupal might be more familiar with HTML. So, like, the center tag used to be the way to center things on the page. Yet that's a deprecated way of doing it now, and you should be using the various style methods, CSS methods, and in fact. It's possible that a future version of a browser, Internet Explorer, Firefox, or Opera, might no longer support the center tag, and they would be fully justified in doing so because it's been deprecated for however many years or whatever. So we're going to say some stuff, and I'm sure we're going to ruffle some feathers with this, because there's a lot of people that are sort of these are still functioning ways of doing things, and people still have their ways of using them. But for new people who are coming to Drupal, it might be easy to go through and search through Drupal.org or the forums there, or find information out there on the web. That if it's a year or two old, it might no longer be the best way of doing things, even though people are talking about this as the new best way of doing things. If that information is a year old, there may be better ways. And we just wanted to talk about sort of what are some of the old ways and the new ways of doing things in Drupal. So let's,
can I start? I've got a big one.
Yeah. Hit it.
They're like two basic instigators for the deprecated effect in Drupal these days. And those are the CCK modules and the views modules, because they do all sorts of things that different parts of Drupal used to do or still does. So the one that I'm going to name is taxonomy. I'm marking taxonomy as officially deprecated. Now, that's sounds radical, but bear with me here. Let's take a look and see what taxonomy module does right now. It lets you make a list of terms within a vocabulary, and then you can use those to classify your different pieces of content. Now, just imagine what you can do with CCK. You can also make a list of, we'll call them terms, and you can use them to classify your content. You make a text field, and you make it a select list, and you put a list of items in, and then you can put that field on any content type that you want to. And when you create that content, you can select as many or only one or whatever of those, we'll call them terms, and you've basically done the same thing as you can currently do with taxonomy. And using views, you can also find those and you can make listings of that content much the same way the taxonomy does now. Now, there are some shortcomings to the CCK and views approach, but I think that the writing's on the wall. I think that eventually taxonomy will be fully deprecated by what you can do in CCK and views. So I'll turn it over to my colleagues. What do you think of that?
Well, you can certainly – I think taxonomy is used for a lot of things that's not really taxonomy, not really classification of a content item. I mean, taxonomy talks about categorization, and that's really how it should be used. When you're using it to choose which users can view, which group of users can view a piece of content, or which, basically taxonomy is a quick way of attaching a list of things to a node. But that list of things doesn't always categorize that node. Sometimes it just You know, we've used these kinds of things for theming purposes or, I mean, other sort of behind the scenes kind of things. And in that way, I think that CCK might be a little bit better because it actually becomes a little more part of the node. But it's a very sort of blurry line, and I don't think we're quite there yet. I mean, certainly efficiency-wise, taxonomy does some things like each term is stored in the database, you know, separately with its own term ID number. And it's just a series of numbers that are assigned to the node, which makes it really easy and database efficient to look things up. But
that's a big weakness with the CCK implementation now. If you want to do lists of things, CCK basically gets serialized and stored into one column of one of the field tables, and then CCK has to look that up and do something with it, so you can't do other database queries against it.
Right, and if you wanted to,
that's
if you
one
wanted
of the rebuttals to my deprecation claim.
And if you wanted to change one of the terms, we'll call them terms, in CCK, you'd also have to update your view and everything else because it doesn't have an ID in the database and stuff.
Right. Yeah, so one of the prerequisites to taxonomy actually becoming deprecated by CCK and views is that CCK has to find a better way to deal with lists of items. Not to mention that there's currently no solution for hierarchical lists like taxonomy provides. And maybe one of the answers to this problem is to simply have a better integration with taxonomy and CCK so that the interfaces that we have for making hierarchical lists in taxonomy can be used in CCK as well. Or maybe the overarching outliner module will come and make CCK lists, taxonomy, and book module deprecated all at once. Who knows?
Ooh.
I kind of disagree with you, Robert. I like the fact that taxonomy is specifically about the classification of content. If I have a field that's called category on a CCK type, I have no idea that that means category. Do you know what I mean? Where the taxonomy, if it's used properly, always refers to the classification of the content. So whether I'm looking at an album or whether I'm looking at a piece of cheese or something in the database, I know that the taxonomy array is going to store anything related to classification, whether it be tags or whether it be whatever, that kind of thing.
I see what you're saying, but I see that more as a
it's like metadata.
Anthropomorphism, anthropomorphism, whatever that word is, of the software. If you have if you have an album, okay, as a content type, maybe you've got the audio module turned on and you've got an album and you want to have the instruments or the style, let's say, we'll go with style of the song, that's the songs that are on the album. It doesn't matter to me whether it's a CCK field that has hip hop or blues or rap or taxonomy vocabulary that has the same things. To
the end user, it's going to feel the same. I mean,
it feels the same, and from a technological point of view, they're basically the same anyway. There's there's no place in the technological stack where one's classification and one is something else, and there's no break in the interface stack either. You know, you don't look at a taxonomy field on a content type and think, oh, that's for classification, and look at all the other fields and think, oh, that's something else.
When you're theming. And the other thing you can't do is the nice, cool feature of taxonomy, which is you can combine terms in the URL and come up with a list of, you know, blues.
Well, you can do that with views.
You could do that.
Yeah,
you can do some
true.
Of that with views.
That's true.
I have to say, the other thing, and this is where this one's really on the fence, I would say, if zero is not deprecated at all and 100 was fully deprecated, I'd say taxonomy is about 30 for me at this point. It's like, I could, you know, there are definitely some other ways, but like there are all these taxonomy related modules out there for doing various things. A lot of them are very confusing. And the problem is that taxonomy is sort of one of these like, words that people don't quite know what it means in Drupal. And when you start combining that with other words that people don't quite know, it's like CCK taxonomy module. It's like, that could mean about 18 different things. Taxonomy node module.
Actually,
you know, that, you know, and on and on like that. I mean, you can start to, things can start to get to be kind of crazy. But, you know, I can kind of see where Robert's coming from on this one. But I think it's something for people to just sort of put in there, huh? Kind of maybe taxonomy isn't always the solution, kind of column, and maybe to start thinking about moving away from it and or better ways to integrate it with CCK.
I think that's actually the big thing. Yeah. That for a long time, taxonomy was the only tool that we had in Drupal to customize like additional information you could tag onto nodes unless you were willing to go in and code a custom module that implemented a node type from scratch. What you did was you said, oh, I'll start with module X, like image module or something like that, and then I'll use additional taxonomy vocabularies to tag more stuff onto that. And I think as CCK has made it possible to just add more fields in whatever way you want to, a lot of the sort of weird edge cases that people were using taxonomy module for, where it wasn't necessarily a great fit, but it was, you know, the only hammer that we had in most cases.
It is really flexible. I mean, you can't. I mean, taxonomy was written like what, 3 years ago or something like that, and it just virtually hasn't changed at all. It's really very flexible and it does a whole lot of stuff, that I've never seen anyone use in Drupal. I mean, these related terms and term synonyms and all this kind of stuff, that perhaps until you actually have a use case for that, it doesn't, you know, when your client says, oh, well, but we need this to be a child of this and of this and also of this. And then, oh,
and you say, ha ha,
ha ha, we can do that. Yes. I always thought they were crazy for having that function, but there it is.
I think if we ever got an outline module into core that could actually do hierarchical structuring not with taxonomy, that would make it so taxonomy was more useful for what it's intended to be.
Is that like a replacement to book module? Like
like abstracting out that outline
parent,
feature
sort of
book
making,
module?
Right, parents thing, you know, what is my parent? That's an interesting thing.
I think
then
the
you can make menus or you know, like whatever. Basically, if you can picture what happens with the book navigation, which is actually kind of nice because it gives you a hierarchical list and you can page back and forth, you know, but you could apply that to anything, any page or any node type, maybe even users.
Now, would this all fall under the mythological, and maybe it's not so mythological, I haven't been paying that much close attention to the development for Drupal 6, but would this all sort of fall under the data API?
No, this is sort of a separate component, which is just getting, basically making book module less like a book module and making, you know, it just a normal outline feature. Basically, Plone and some other systems have the ability to structure pages hierarchically outside of taxonomy and outside of any of this kind of stuff. And we just need that kind of functionality that's not tied to book module.
Right.
I think Josh Koning is working on some stuff, and Paul Wallanen, who I'm probably getting your name wrong and I'm sorry, have both done some work on this. Paul did a good job specing this out as a Summer of Code project, but nobody ended up jumping on it. And I think Josh at the last Dojo thing did a walkthrough of basically gutting book module and making it act on node API rather than book module itself.
Huh, sweet.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Huh. Well, so we... the taxonomy is just like dropping a bomb. It's just start off with, but
yeah,
we can sort of backtrack a little bit. We keep talking about CCK for people that don't know, and you really ought to know, especially, you know, I mean, it's like, welcome to Drupal. Download Drupal. Now familiarize yourself with CCK and views, because people are going to talk about these a lot. We're going to talk about them a lot on this podcast, and stuff like that. CCK is the thing that makes FlexiNode deprecated. And basically, FlexiNode was the first iteration of a system to make flexible nodes, right? To create content types on your website, on your Drupal site, where you could make up whatever fields you wanted to have on them. So you could have a field for first name and last name and address and all that kind of stuff. And that was FlexiNode, and it was amazing and cool and really great for people not to have to code their own custom node types, which had been the way of doing that kind of thing in the past. And everyone loved it, and they jumped on it, and they dove in and started implementing it and started realizing that there was a lot about it that was very inefficient, that it was basically, a thing that, Jonathan Chaffer had written, like, in a weekend, sort of a concept, like, wouldn't it be cool if, and it was a good chance to find out what was not right about all this. CCK was the attempt to write all of this correctly. Development on it went a lot slower, and still continues. In fact, a lot of the CCK functionality has been brought into core for Drupal 5, the current version of Drupal. The only part of CCK that really exists in the contributions repository are the actual fields themselves. So in core now, you can create your own content types, but the content types just have a title field and a body field. If you download CCK, you can start adding fields to anything. To any node type on your site, which is
that really actually brings up an interesting entire category of things that should be deprecated. Back in the days of like Drupal 4.6 and 4.7, it was very common to like grab story module or something like that and just clone it and rename the stuff that designated as a story module and turn it into like an article module or a, you know, job module or something like that, so that, you know, you could have a new content type that you could create, even though you only really need a title and body. Anytime you've done that, where all you're doing is just cloning one of those simple modules, now in Drupal 5, you just go to the content administration panel in the administration section, and you can create one of those new node types without any code being written. That's a huge area of deprecation.
Yeah. And I mean, as a footnote to that, I think there's also a move towards people creating a lot more node types on their site, where in the past they might have used taxonomy to say, okay, this is a story, but what kind of a story is it? Is it a homepage story, or is it a, you know, story that goes in this section of the site, or, you know, how should I? And these days, I'm finding, at least the way that I'm building things, is like, it's so easy to create a new node type, you know, which basically sort of gives it a different definition at its root. That oftentimes I'm just doing that. I mean, it's so easy to just create a new node type in Drupal 5 now. So that's not really something that's deprecated, but it's starting to sort of deprecate other things. And it's yet another way that taxonomy is starting to get pushed out a little bit. But yeah, FlexiNode deprecated. And what's more, there's not a good way to upgrade from FlexiNode to CCK. So if you're starting your Drupal site today, don't. There's no reason to use FlexiNode. But FlexiNode is still, there's a version of it, I believe, for Drupal 5, and it's still being updated and stuff like that. But
there is a FlexiNode to CCK converter as well, but I don't know what the status of it is.
There's
a project.
Yeah.
It's by Tao Starbo.
Oh, really? Tao? Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, he does good stuff. So, it's kind of part of the problem with FlexiNode was it didn't do any data typing on the data that, that it stored. So there was no way of knowing whether it was a number and should be stored in the database as a number or a date or a anything. I mean, it was just all from a database perspective, not right.
And FlexiNode really started to show its limitations when you tried to put tons and tons of data in, like, you know, thousands of nodes and stuff like that. And then you would say, oh, well, now I want to pull up nodes that match these criteria with FlexiNode. Yeah. The way that it stored data just suddenly turned into your worst enemy.
And I built this whole site and used FlexiNode, and then I sat down to start the theming, and I was just like, felt like pounding my head against a brick wall to have to convert all these numbers over back and forth.
He's like, okay, take FlexiNode -86 and put that one there.
God.
And actually, as of a little while ago, one of the big things that people still said was great in FlexiNode was that you could say which field showed up on the teaser and which one showed up in the body and stuff like that. So you could kind of customize that. And that is a part of CCK now. So if you haven't been paying attention to what has been happening in the CCK, that is possible in CCK. And so it's another one of those reasons that you don't have to stick with FlexiNode.
Nathan Haug had one to add. He said he wasn't going to be able to make it on the podcast, but he wanted us to mention he's the maintainer of a web form module, which he is saying is starting to become deprecated in itself. He says that that the web form and survey modules are oftentimes used by people when really what they want to do is just create CCK nodes that perhaps even anonymous users could create and then would immediately go into an unpublished state or something like that, so people wouldn't be able to sort of go back to them. But that's an interesting way of using CCK in a way that I wouldn't have thought of before. And then you can do certain things. I mean, just because they're not published, if you are an administrator, you have control over views and stuff, and you could set up a view that only administrators could see, where you could see all of the, you know, web form. Let's say, you know, you wanted to make a custom contact form for your website. We do this on lullabot.com. You know, you want to get a whole bunch of extra information from people, add extra fields, and stuff like that. With web form, which is what we're using now, you can do that. It's not as flexible as CCK. It implements a lot of similar things, field types and stuff like that, that are really sort of a duplicate of CCK and done in a way that probably isn't even as good as the way that CCK is doing it. And you don't get the ability to use taxonomy and stuff like that. So that's an interesting idea. The idea of people submitting, you know, contact me information, but not having it be public information. That's basically, you know, each contact form that gets submitted is actually a node. I think people tend to think of nodes as like pages on the site that are going to be public, and, you know, and this is an interesting way of doing it that I wouldn't have thought of. That's interesting, an interesting concept of using CCK instead of web form or survey or these kind of things. And there's some between views and CCK, there's some things like, what was the calculated field? Is that what it's called for CCK, where you could, for instance, have a field that's the number of people that have submitted a contact?
I think it's a views calc field or something like that. I haven't played with it at all, but it's one of Karen S's modules, so it's probably awesome.
Yeah, we did an interview with her a while back, if you go back into the archive, and she talks a little bit about that, how she was thinking about how you could essentially sort of make spreadsheet kinds of things using CCK and views, and that this was sort of the glue that would do the calculations on your spreadsheet-y things. So that's, again, deprecated. I don't know, but something to think about. Image module, I think, is deprecated.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dum, dum, dum. And it's got such a great namespace. What does namespace mean? When a module chooses its module, when a module developer chooses the module name, it's basically reserved by them. So image.module and all the functions are image underscore something is the, you know. So when people go looking for how to do images in Drupal, they find the image module. It seems like a sort of a no-brainer, and you download it and install it, and there you go. You can create nodes that are images and stuff. But we've really found that at least image module has this thing. There's a whole infrastructure around it. There's all this stuff. There's a whole bunch of ways of using image module that people find. But we've talked about it on this podcast before, have been using CCK with image field and the image cache modules, which admittedly are both, particularly in the case of image cache, a little harder to set up, a little more difficult to configure, but way more flexible. And who wrote it? Was it Angie? Was it you that wrote the article on the Lullabot site about image field and image cache? No, or...
Both me and Nate have written articles on that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And those are helpful in sort of understanding the concept of what it takes. But way more flexible and from a themer's perspective, like a good example would be, let's say you were doing a website that had movie listings and movie information about movies, right? And so for a movie, you're going to have the poster image for the movie, and maybe a picture of the, you know, the actors or something, and you're going to have maybe a cropped small, you know, square size version of the movie poster, and you know, various different things that you're going to want to show in different places. Maybe if it's a listing, you know, search results, it'll show it this way, or if it's a listing, it'll show this movie poster size, but then when you get to the actual movie page, it shows it, you know, full size, big on the page and stuff like that. There's not really a way of doing that cleanly using like upload module or even image module, really, to create these specific types of images that are associated with a given node. With image field, you can say, you know, put the thumbnail, you know, upload the thumb, you know, attach the thumbnail image here, attach the full-size movie poster image here, and then when the themer just can output that specific thing in the specific place. For this is one of those things that's hard to explain verbally, but for upload module, for instance, and this is the way we actually did it originally with the Participant Productions website, and this example comes pretty much directly from them. They make movies, and we had to have a very specific naming scheme for each of the images that would get uploaded. And then the theme would have to look through and find the one that said dash SM and the one that said dash LG and the square one and all that kind of stuff. And it was felt very, very kludgy, and all that just kind of goes away with the image field. And then with image cache, further, you can crop the image and resize it and all that kind of stuff. And it's just really, really flexible and really cool. I think both of those, and particularly image cache, still has a little bit of a ways to go. I think that they've already just even gotten better since the last time I've used them, just in terms of being easier to use and easier to understand and stuff like that. But those are definitely things I think that people should really look at. Another thing is just the whole concept, the image module concept, that an image equals a node, that each image should be its own node, seems a little odd to me. I don't tend to concept it like that. I think of an image as either attached to a node or, you know, just sort of part of the content, and that it doesn't necessarily need to exist as on its own as a node. So
it's certainly possible to make a new node type called, like, image and have it just have an image field attached to it. So you get the you effectively get the equivalent of image module with that, but using CCK image field and then image cache gives you the additional flexibility to say, well, here's a node type that I also want to have, a particular image attached to it, but not treat it as just an image node. And I don't want to have to have a completely new set of nodes just for the images that this attaches to. It lets you do what image module does, but then it also gives you the flexibility to do it other ways as well.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly you could do that. Yep. What about any of the other sort of media related modules, like the audio module or the video module? Are those deprecated as well?
They're getting there. There are field types for audio and video, but they don't have the level of sophistication that audio and video module have managed to get up to this point. Things like the ability to specify a video that lives on a remote server by just typing in the URL. That's something that video module can do, I believe, yeah. So that you don't have to just upload everything.
Yeah.
There are things like that that aren't yet in place, but using media field module for CCK and some custom theming, you can generally get the equivalent of what everybody was using audio module for. Unless you were doing some really crazy stuff like, running a radio station and doing custom playlists and stuff like that.
Is that what it's called, media field module?
Yes.
Or media, yeah, okay.
A lot of that is actually code taken from image field and file field, and just slightly adapted to work with audio and video content types. But I actually set up a website for a friend of mine who just wanted to put some of his songs online, and we ended up using the audio field just because it was flexible enough that we didn't need anything else.
Right. We used the audio module for this podcast, and it's great. I mean, Robert did an interview with Andrew Morton last week, and he's the current maintainer and has basically rewritten audio module. And it does some cool things, particularly for podcasting. It just got the ability to do iTunes tags and stuff like that. And it'll do things like read the ID3 tags, which are the tags that on a MP3 file that tell the name of the song and the author and the date that it was produced and the genre of music and all that kind of stuff. And it can read all that stuff right out of there and stuff. But there's not really a reason that audio needs to be its own node type and in that it couldn't be sort of an audio field. Well, I guess the advantage of it being its own node type is that you can insert a bunch of stuff into the RSS feed, which is really helpful for podcasting. So, I don't know that those are there yet, but you start to see this pattern as we're talking about this, where the CCK sort of makes things a lot more granular. It's like, does it really need to be its own node type? Is that the right way of thinking of it? Or can it be a sub building block of a node that you could control with CCK? I mean, the nice thing about a lot of these modules is that you install them and they just work. You know, it doesn't require you to set up your own CCK node type and add fields and stuff like that. But I think once you get the knack of using CCK, it's you start to get power hungry with it.
I think the drawback of CCK right now is that it still requires a lot more understanding of how exactly you want things to be. You have to have a clear idea of what you want to build, how you want it to work, and then you have the tools to do that. If what you're saying is, I need to have an audio library, and I want to have this, and I want to have an image gallery, modules like image and audio will just do that for you. You turn it on and you start uploading stuff.
If you're open to suggestions, these modules provide a lot of suggestions, whereas CCK doesn't provide a whole lot of suggestions.
And I think the next step in the Drupal community is probably going to be the process of putting together the bits of glue that tie recipes using CCK and views and different plugin fields. You know, a little thing that you just drop this in and it sets up those custom configured bits of CCK and Vue's stuff rather than forcing you to go in and do that all on your own.
Yeah. I definitely can see that, where the configuration of CCK and Vue's already sort of provides this type of functionality that you could create a module that creates a Vue, which seems very odd, but
as does voting actions.
What a genius module! I assume
it basically rips off Vue's shamelessly in all those ways. So all the really great ideas are Earl Miles.
Yay, Earl!
Okay, we've got the next one on the list. This is gonna just—I don't know. Some people aren't gonna like to hear this one. Event module.
Dun dun dun
dun dun. I actually fully agree that event modules should go the way of the dinosaur. And I love you, Gerhard, and everything, but event modules, just the great thing about views and CCK is that if you want a list of only the, you know, concert tour dates between this date and that date that were posted by, you know, insert artist name here, that's just a bunch of views filters. So you just do and you build your view and you're done. Where in event module, you can have all these silly drop downs that say limit this by node type or limit this by taxonomy or limit this by this or that and the other thing. But it's just painful, basically, to do.
Well, an event module, I think also, again, part of this is, I could be wrong on some of these things, and people should comment on this podcast to, you know, if they disagree, and we will I hopefully don't start a big heated debate there, but event module makes an assumption that every event has a start time and an end time, and that those start and end times And again, this might have changed. Part of making a decision on these things is you start to lose perspective on exactly what the other thing is doing. So as we've used CCK date field and calendar, it's the CCK date field module and then the calendar module, which is a separate module from CCK. As we've started using those things instead of event module, I've started to lose track of what event module does. But for instance, having a field for your users to enter the exact second that I don't know, that a birthday is going to happen, right? Enter the birthday of this person. It starts at this second and ends at this second. It's like, you know what? I just want to enter in the day, right?
It assumes a level of promptness I've never been able to meet.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so this is the problem with it, and we've talked about the difficult, in fact, we talked at the beginning of the podcast a little bit. It's like dates are hard. Like just, you know, like keeping track of that because they shift from time zone to time zone and people think of things in different levels of granularity. Your birthday is the day. It's not a second to a second, and so with date field, you can set up the granularity to just be one day, and you don't need to have an end time, and so you gain that stuff with date field. And last I knew, at least with event module, it was all about it starts at this second and ends at this second. And so if you had something that had more, like it had either one time or more than one time, so let's say. I've used this example before on the podcast, but you have it's a play, right? That's happening, and the doors open at 7:30, and curtain call. You know, the curtains open at 8:15, and then it's all done, and you can go home at 10 o'clock at night, right? There's not a way to enter all that stuff with event module either, but you can do that really easily with date field. So.
The other cool thing is calendar module is just awesome. It lets you do import and export via iCal. It does it's basically the calendar code from event module ripped out and then made better. It's friggin' cool. So I really am a big fan of that.
This actually reveals, I mean, a common thread between a lot of these deprecated things. Like, the problem with Event Module wasn't that it wasn't flexible enough. It was actually pretty flexible. But in order to be as flexible as the CCK Views calendar combination, it would have essentially had to implement all the features of Views and all the features of CCK just in Event Module. And in order for Image Module to be that flexible, it would have had to implement all the features of CCK, so you could add arbitrary fields and stuff like that. It's that the ability to take these little pieces and click them together in different ways means that almost any of these single, you know, monolithic modules that provided functionality X, like image galleries and stuff like that, if you have a specific idea of how you want it to work, it can be done better using these individual sort of Lego brick pieces, because there's just no way for any module maintainer to build in all of that functionality into just their module without bloating it beyond recognition. And that's what a lot of module maintainers are starting to realize, and they're starting to do things like release a new CCK field type or release a new Views plugin or things like that in order to achieve those things by just filling the one gap that wasn't there yet.
Yeah, yeah, totally. All right, well... You know, each of these things, I feel like I'm going to make some people frustrated, at least.
Does it feel kind of like kicking a baby?
No, it doesn't. Based on my experience, at least, it feels nothing like that.
Okay.
The next one I've got on my list, Profile Module. This is the second one, incidentally, that's part of Drupal Core. And unlike taxonomy module, where I think it's like it's heading that way, it's going that way, it could be eventually that way, I think profile module is fully deprecated right now.
Ooh. Those are some strong words, sir.
Yeah. Who's with me?
Well,
come on.
I'll dive in.
Come on.
I'm not quite ready to light the torch and pick up the pitchfork, but I think the case that can be made for this is profile module. What it does is it lets you set up a profile for a user. It lets you define custom fields that you want to appear on that profile. It lets you set some of them as required and some of them as optional. It lets you say, oh, here's a list of options that I would like them to be able to choose from, things like that. And then it lets you go in and say, give me a list of, you know, what people have this field in their profile and stuff like that. And if you've been listening, what does that sound like? That sounds like CCK in Views. And profile module is years and years and years old. It predates even FlexiNode module. So when we were talking about how FlexiNode is like less than ideal in how it stores and organizes its data and it's hard to interact with from a programming perspective, profile module is even worse. And there's no way to do things like, well, I want people to be able to add this additional custom field type that Core didn't initially support to their profiles. You can't do that with profile module. It's like it's a very, very primitive version of FlexiNode, which was in turn a very primitive version of CCK. So now there's new modules that let you say, when someone creates an account or when somebody says, I want to go fill out my profile, let them create a profile node or a bio node or something like that. And suddenly, once you treat the profile as a node that somebody can create rather than some sort of special construct called profile out there, suddenly you can leverage Views and CCK and all kinds of goodness. And someone on this podcast has worked with that.
Well, so on past podcasts, I referred to, this little module I wrote called Bio Module, which when I wrote it for 4.7, I wrote it for the Lullabot site. I wrote it so that, you know, there could be a link to a page that had a whole bunch of information about the team. You know, we'd write something and there's a little link at the bottom of it that says view Angie's bio. And it was just really simple, right? It had a title and a body and stuff like that. And it added links to the stuff. And the other thing about it was it only allowed each user to create one node of that type, of the bio type. But of course, then the CCK stuff kind of got into core in Drupal 5, and all of a sudden you could add extra fields. And so now you could create a first name and last name field and a title, you know, a job title field and a address field. And with CCK, you could, you know, expose some of those to be viewed or not viewed or, you know, and all of a sudden it became this pretty simple, but kind of flexible way of creating a single node of a given type, for a user, that could be their profile basically. And then Ali, Mika, stepped in and actually, started, co-maintaining that module and she added a few features so that it would actually display that information on your profile page, and stuff like that. And so it's sort of morphed into a solution, a profile solution. What it doesn't do yet, although it could, is what profile does is when a user load happens, when you load the information about a user into Drupal, and this is talking about like behind the scenes API stuff. It also loads in the profile field so that you could, get, you know, the user's, title or the user's first name, last name, based on their profile information right from the user object. But there's really no reason why you couldn't do that from the bio module as well. It probably wouldn't be super efficient to do a full node load on each user load. So each user would load the user information and then also do a node load on the node associated. That probably wouldn't be efficient, but there might
be
sort of...
That actually wouldn't be too bad because by default, Drupal doesn't load all of that stuff just when like you log on or hit the page. It's only when you do an explicit user load command.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't realize that.
That it pulls all that in. So you could do that and just use that as a replacement for the loading stuff that profile module normally does.
Well, I was thinking you could do a more streamlined kind of thing that only actually loaded the information from the node table and from the CCK table tables, and didn't actually do a full like didn't
a bio load.
Fire off all the hooks and stuff. But I should say there are other modules out there. Before. I realized that bio was sort of this generalized solution for Drupal 5. I was using a module called User Node, which did a similar kind of thing, allowed you to create a node, assign a node type and allow a user to create just one of them or three or, you know, some whatever number you wanted. I can't really think of a great use case for three, but... And then there was also Summer Code Project last summer, who was the student who worked on that?
Wolfgang Zietler.
Yeah, who was basically the Summer of Code Project was to replace profile module with a node system, and he wrote a whole bunch of modules that I think ended up sort of becoming called the node family. Is that right?
It was funny. It's like he wrote a user node module, but then realized, you know, it would be really cool if I could limit any kind of node to, you know, an arbitrary number. So then he wrote like node, I don't know. And then he wrote node family if you want to group a collection of nodes together. And he wrote views fusion if you wanted to, right. Like, yeah. So it's
yeah.
Like,
so
there's a whole plethora of.
Yeah. So, So that's like a little bit even more abstracted version than like bio modules could simple kind of thing. And then there's these more complex systems out there. So there's user node, which is not related to Wolfgang's project, which I think his module is called user nodes.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole bunch that are related to that.
I would like just in the interest of being fair and balanced to give some arguments against users as nodes.
Please. This is, okay. Well, this is one of the ongoing arguments in Drupal.
Well, actually, let me, I'll first start with one that where it totally made sense and it was awesome. And that was the OSCMS site. When we did registrations, we stored the registration nodes as bio nodes. And so that allowed each person to only be able to register once, and they could edit or delete their registration if they weren't coming anymore. And we could also use a patch to Vue's bonus module to do a CSV export on whatever fields we needed in order to give that to the Yahoo people. And that was awesome. And it worked great for that.
And there was taxonomy terms and all that kind of stuff. So people could tag free themselves tagging with their CMS of choice and all that kind of stuff. So
it worked great for that. But where it doesn't work great is when you need kind of profile module-esque features, like, for example, the ability to put something on the registration form and require people to check a box or choose something before they register. So we had that problem with the Planet SOC site where Robert really wanted to use user nodes for this. And it was kind of like, but we need them to pick a mentoring organization before they even sign up. And we can't do that. And, you know, and I could have hook form altered it in, but it just would have been nasty and stuff. Yeah. So that was one issue. And another issue is that because they're nodes, they'll come up in search results. So if you were searching for, like, I don't know, GNU or something like that, all of a sudden you get all these random people coming up in your search results.
Well, that could be a good thing, depending on your site.
It could be, but it's not in this case where, you know, if you want to bring up a list of users, there's a place to go for that. When you're searching for content, you want content.
Right.
So there's some kind of things. I think ultimately the way to go on this is we've got this great field creation process thing going on in CCK. I think bringing that into core and then making it so profile module and that use the same field creation logic would be awesome, because then you could create an image field for profiles and you know, whatever. And then
and also just rearrange the way that profiles are stored in core. I don't know. I mean, I don't think, like, for instance, like, if you're creating a MySpice, whatever that site is called, MySpace, Eureka. I think we've discovered a new MySpice.com.
I want to go friend Saffron.
It's a social networking site for spice freaks. MySpace.com, if you're creating a site like that, you want to be able to search through the general search for users, and you don't want them to be segregated off as a separate thing, a separate tab, you know. I mean, even on Drupal.org, I find that a lot of times it's like, I want to do the same search for a username, you know, I'm looking for someone on the site, and, you know, I'll end up just hitting it into the Drupal search at the top of the page, and I get a list of all of the node content, when really what I want is just a link to their profile so I can find out what their real name is. And how do I pronounce that? What language is that in? I don't understand that. Who is this person? Anyways, so profile module, potentially. I just think there's a lot of room for improvement. And also, we found that the database optimization is not optimal.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. Well, and a few of our high profile sites, we've just ended up basically re-implementing profile module for the specific fields we need, and just one big flat table that's got all of the columns.
Yeah. We won't get too deep into that, but you can take a look at it's open source. Take a look at the profile module and see how it stores things. Cause it's,
and then fear.
Yeah. Basically it's just a bazillion joins in order to get, you know, so you don't want to have too many profile fields, and depends on your site. Mixed feelings about profile module. Actually, no, I don't have mixed feelings about profile module. I don't like it.
I think the limitations that are there right now that profile module can't, I mean, the things profile can do that you can't do with nodes right now are really just, there are a couple remaining pieces of the CCK and nodes puzzle that if we put those in place, it would be valuable for everyone, not just people making profiles. things like the ability to make certain fields private to, you know, adjust the person who edited them or just, you know, administrators and, mm-hmm. you know, being able to insert a node into the user registration workflow. Those are things that I think that the last pieces remaining for just replacing profile module completely. But if you have relatively simple needs for profiles, and you're not doing all kinds of crazy access controls and things like that, then heck yeah.
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah, yeah. So, just this the power of views is so you want that everywhere. You want to be able to just do stuff with that. I mean, views is very confusing. Maybe are we just talking to power users here, or does this just apply to everybody? I mean, if you're just running a blog on this kind of thing and you're new to Drupal, I mean, should we really be saying, no, use CCK and views for everything? Is that really realistic?
Not always. I think we talked about that a little earlier. Sometimes if you just say, you know, I want events here, I'll drop this in and now I've got some events on my website. You know, that can be a good solution for you. But yeah. A lot of the limitations that people ran into...
There's going to be a fight here.
Fight!
I don't know. It's just... Because you never know, like... Because we get approached a lot of times by people who have, you know, didn't expect their site to be doing as much traffic... as it is, and they say, you know, help, we need help optimizing this site, and, you know, they've got Flexinode running, or Event Module isn't particularly inefficient, it's just sort of not as flexible as it might be,
And that's really the big consideration. It's when you start to grow, and when you start pushing the boundaries of what these all-in-one modules can do, it's really, really, really hard to change them because they're big and they do a lot of stuff. And usually the code to implement all those things isn't done in a modular fashion, so it's harder to go in and change just the way X works or just the way Y works. But this sort of Lego brick approach that these new modules are using makes it a lot easier to go in and say, well, I need to add this little bit to the way that event fields display without having to tear up the guts of the entire infrastructure of the event and calendaring system. Mm. It's when you start trying to push it out and add new little features and stuff like that to your site, that's when you really start to recognize the advantages of the new way.
Hmm. Yeah. So, okay, I've got one other on my list, which I think we've got a lot of the same lists here, but... I think that, and I wrote one once, I think that a lot of times the way, and I don't know if this is deprecated exactly, but I think a lot of times the way that people use node access modules is not really what they want to do. I think that there are ways of doing things, again, with CCK not necessarily theming, but maybe contemplate module. Content template module I wrote, or now there's actually some even better ways of doing things right in CCK, to basically sort of restrict access to parts of a node. So let's say you're building a site like, iStockPhoto, which is a great stock photo site for people that aren't familiar with that, where you want to be able to have people go through and look at all the photos and stuff like that, but they can't get the full sized, downloadable versions of them, without the sort of stuff across it, the words across it that say, iStockPhoto. If you want to, you know, you need to pay money, and then you're given access to that part of that content, to download that thing. Theirs doesn't work exactly like that because it's not ongoing access. It's basically they give you, you know, you can download it. But in concept, at least, I wouldn't use a node access module for that. Would you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, field by field access restriction is not there yet. It's possible to do, but you have to really, really start looking at everything else that you're doing on your site to make sure that other modules aren't accidentally poking holes in your security system.
Right.
Because they don't yet know about that kind of security. So you can do things like have your theme functions, you know, not write out fields that people don't have access to. But if you've got search modules set up to get those fields cataloged, then suddenly they can go through and search and find the contents of those fields, even if you don't display them when they actually go to the individual node. There's a lot of bits like that that I think are not there yet. Field level access controls, when it's fully baked, I think will really be valuable for that. But it's tricky, and you got to really know exactly how you want it to work and make sure you plug all the gaps if you want to do it that way right now.
It's just that the node access is sort of such a kind of sticky thing, and it happens. I mean, basically, it's a very black and white situation with node access. If you turn on node access for a given criteria of nodes, depending on what node access module you're using, I mean, it's either you get access or you don't. I mean, you get a 403, is that right? The access denied message, and you're not getting there. And that happens like at the database layer. It's like Drupal can't even load it, right? Or it basically, when Drupal does a node load, it checks to see if the user has access. That's like the first thing. So it won't load it. Drupal won't process it. It won't show up in search results. It does get indexed in the search results, right? I believe, but it doesn't, it won't show up in the search results. And on and on like that. So, there's just some interesting bits and pieces there. I don't know. Angie, did you have thoughts about that?
About field access and stuff?
About node access.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I don't know that people are people actually using node access for that kind of thing? Because if they are, they're probably getting really frustrated.
Well, they are getting. I'm sure they are getting really frustrated. But I think there are probably things that they want to do like that, right? Where you purchase access to see the rest of this node, to get the thing that's part of or associated with this thing. But usually, I guess the way that you have to do it now is do some sort of a separate type of node that is restricted, that's associated with this. And then, you know, so,
well, you can do a couple of things. I mean, yeah, that's one way to do it. I mean, the stuff that Jeff Eden added to CCK to make it so that, you know, fields can optionally not show on teasers and bodies and stuff like that can sort of help at least provide rudimentary control over whether or not people can see fields. Because, I mean, for example, again, on the OSCMS site, we were taking people's email addresses and stuff like that in nodes, and then we would just, using the CCK options, just make it so they weren't ever displayed anywhere. Right. So the only person who would ever see their email address are the people who actually own those nodes.
Right.
So, I mean, you could do that to take out the large version of this image and that kind of thing. There's a whole separate issue that comes into controlling access to files, though, which doesn't actually have anything to do with node access. But that would be one way of doing it. And then maybe in your theme or something, you'd have some custom code. But yeah, I mean, there's not a really good drop-in solution. I guess the way to fix this would be at the CCK level, similar to how you can have, you know, fields viewable in these different ways. You could have a checkbox that says, mark this field as privatizable or something like that. And then when you make different nodes, like say, for example, you could make blog entries that could either be private or not, you know, maybe parts of blog entries and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, that might be one way to address it at a higher level. But as of this point, I don't know of a good solution for that. Although if you want to restrict access to the entire post itself, there's all kinds of options like organic groups and taxonomy access and, you know, stuff
and
like
private
that.
Private module.
Yeah. And in Drupal 5, those things actually work in harmony, more or less. Yes? No?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, more than they did. It's actually possible to use more than one of those at the same time.
I'm
but...
assuming that things could get confusing, though, because right. you're adding it, just chaos theory, right? I mean, you have two different things or three different things, you know, showing or hiding access to a given node, and you're not quite sure which of them is doing what at any given time, and yeah, confusing.
But yeah, It's getting better slowly but surely. I think right now the big problem is that Drupal's like history has always been that nodes, once you load everything from the database or whatever, are really just a big blob of text. You know, there's the node body, and then there's the node teaser, which is just a short little version of it. And now we're starting to talk about attaching metadata not just to a node, but to individual tiny little chunks of a node that let us treat them all differently in different scenarios. And there's hacks to do that, but there isn't really a system-level unified way of approaching that. Like, in this kind of context, well, I want to hide this from these kinds of people and things like that.
That's a really interesting observation, that Drupal basically hasn't had fields in the past.
Right.
There was one field. A node was the body. One field.
And that's actually, you can see that at the theming layer, there's still the legacy of that, when the big variable that you get in your themes is just $content.
Right.
And that, in most node types, if you've got like 35 different fields added to your node, everything just appears in content. And it works in a lot of situations, but I think that legacy is where things start colliding when we try to do this kind of advanced stuff. And there are some projects that are underway to change that and make it more flexible. Further bulletins.
Is that the data API?
Well, not quite. Actually,
what is the data API?
Not quite.
The data API is, I'll just do a quick segue. If you've ever had to make an install profile and you did it without tearing out large chunks of your head, congratulations, because it's like horrible. Because there's no consistency between like how a node is saved versus the taxonomy term is saved versus a role is saved. So the data API is to try and bring consistency all the way through so that you call a consistent set of functions. If I want to load a node or I want to load a, you know, a user, or I want to load a, you know, whatever, a profile field. Yeah. that you can always count on a similar syntax and you get back, you're going to get back an ID or something useful that you can then use to build further onto that and stuff like that. So Nejo Rogers actually is doing a lot of work with that. He has some patches in the queue to kind of build a generalized object sort of, not objects, I don't want to offend anybody there, but, you know, not actual objects, but like sort of taking that object approach of like load, save, et cetera, and make them consistent throughout the thing. So that's a cool place if you want to help out to do so, because it's something we really, really desperately need if install profiles are going to take off.
And then in addition to that, there's a project that's in the Drupal issue queue that it's not clear whether it'll actually be able to make it in for Drupal 6 or not, but there's work going on it. It's basically to change the whole node rendering system so that rather than just collapsing everything to that $content variable that we talked about, like individual fields in a node and individual little chunks could actually be the fact that they are individual pieces that have separate meaning and separate content would be preserved all the way to the theming layer. So it would be a lot easier to say in your like node template file, okay, print the signature for my post here and print the, you know, the custom pager that goes forward and backward in the list of nodes up here and print the photo for the image node right here, but the body that describes it over here. The ability to treat those different pieces of the node separately without just going in and custom coding a bunch of goofy stuff in your theme layer, that's another project in there to begin treating node fields as actual separate pieces that you can work with.
Right, right. Yeah, and maybe to get access sort of at that level, least to some extent.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing. It's Drupal has capabilities like putting access restrictions on individual portions of a form, or, you know, anything that you get, anything that gets put through the Drupal render function to be output to HTML, you can put access permission information on any chunk of that. Mm-hmm. So as we start treating nodes in that same way, the ability to very easily tag access control information onto every individual field of a node becomes a lot simpler too.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, moving along. I don't know that I have anything. I have little bits and pieces on my list, but I don't know that I have anything that I feel strongly about. I mean, basically,
we've deprecated a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we pissed off a lot of people. I mean, basically, you know, I would just in general sort of be wary of any JavaScript stuff that's out there that isn't based on jQuery these days. If there's, you know, JavaScript heavy modules out there that are not jQuery based, they may be deprecated. They might. I mean, I don't know if all the WYSIWYGs that are out there are necessarily deprecated because there's not necessarily a better solution using jQuery. But I mean, like, I wrote the Scriptaculous prototype module stuff for 4.7, and I haven't and am not planning on updating that for Drupal 5, just because you can pretty much do most of that stuff with jQuery now. So,
and a lot of those modules were really, really great in like the 4.6 and 4.7 era, and they use jQuery or they use JavaScript to do cool stuff. But now that jQuery is officially a part of Drupal core, you know, just for compatibility reasons and just for consistency and not to reinvent the wheel, moving over to jQuery is the way that people should go.
And it's usually, once you get your head around jQuery, it's usually a pretty quick port. Yeah. I mean, I ported some stuff, and it was like, it was just like two lines of code all of a sudden. It was like, it was this module I'd spent weeks on, you know, writing all the jobs, and I just did it in jQuery, and it was like, that's it, huh? Okay, cool. Oh, it is so cool. Yeah, you guys have anything else to add?
I've got one just from my recent dealings with Actions module. I love it. Anytime, this isn't a deprecation really, it's just sort of a coming over the horizon, I think, is a day in the very near future when any module that when something happens, it goes and does stuff, like when a moderator clicks the, you know, this needs to be approved before it gets posted button, or when people vote on something, X happens, or when people accumulate enough user points, Y happens. Anytime you have that and then something happens step in a module, if you find that that module has a big old honking configuration screen to let you control the stuff that ought to happen, or if you find that people are adding tons and tons of requests to, oh, well, when that gets triggered, I should be able to have it do this instead or this in addition to that, that's what Actions module is for. It provides a centralized infrastructure where all those little things that happen can just be dumped into a big bin, and you can just provide a configuration screen that lets you just pick each one of those that you want to happen. And the module developers don't have to duplicate all those massive hunks of code to do things like flag nodes or put them in a list or send out email to the administrator or things like that. And it just works nicer. It's a lot cleaner and it's a lot cooler. It's not there yet because support for Actions is pretty limited right now, but there's even a project to get the core of Actions into Drupal core itself soon. So it's not there yet, but it's on the horizon.
Yeah,
check it out. If you find yourself doing stuff like that, Actions will definitely simplify your life.
Yeah. Well, yet another one of my modules is the comment mail module, which sort of does an action, doesn't it? It's like someone comments on your site and it sends you an email saying, hey, someone commented on your site. Maybe you'd like to go and approve it, or just you should know about it or whatever. And I could see that being an action, but the nice thing about it is there's not a whole lot you need to do to set it up at this point. You just enter in the email address and stuff. And so there still is something for that, but maybe when Actions stuff gets kind of closer to core or simpler or something like that, I could see that as sort of a future direction where that sort of becomes abstracted a little bit, and you can, sort of tie things in, and it just becomes sort of an action that happens. That'd be very cool.
Yep.
Angie, any last thoughts? Any last words? Apologies to anyone?
Any node module pretty much can
what?
Be deprecated.
What? That's not a last thing. Any node module, anything that implements its own node type, is that what you're saying?
Just about, yeah. I mean, there's so many of these, like, I don't know, what was the module I was looking at the other day? It was like feature module or something like that. And it was like a web, it was like a module that declared a node type where you could type in one of the features on the website and it would aggregate it into a list. And it was like, dude, that's CCK in views. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff where it's like, why do we have modules for that kind of thing? And I've just ticked off some people, I'm sure, by saying that. But I was actually going down the list of modules one day, and I was like, okay, we don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need that. And it was actually quite funny because I would bet that probably a third of the modules in core, or I'm sorry, in contrib, are just something that you could do if it was easy to ship pre-built CCK and views presets.
Yeah, well, and then entire Drupal profiles as well, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of maintenance there, but yeah, it's this sort of all these levels of granularity.
Well, we'll have to do a podcast just about building profiles soon, because I think
we do, because
we get a little twitchy now when
pent
people
up aggression
say,
oh, about that. Yeah,
we had some experience with that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So let's do a quick wrap up here. Okay. So we talked about taxonomy module. That's part of core. And I'm not convinced that it's totally deprecated yet, but I think that people assume that it's not and it never will be. And I think it could be eventually. And that there's a lot of ways that people are using taxonomy module, in which it might be deprecated. As a footnote to that, I should also add that, Views module has a way of overwriting the taxonomy listings, stuff that's built in, and you can do a whole lot of really cool stuff with that. I shouldn't be mentioning that this late in the podcast, but taxonomy module. The next thing FlexiNode. Just don't do FlexiNode. If you aren't already tied into doing FlexiNode, don't do FlexiNode. Deprecated.
Friends don't let friends do FlexiNode.
Exactly. Web form, survey, any of these things that are sort of, you know, users submit something on the front end of your site and something. There are probably ways that you can do that with CCK that are better.
There currently aren't, but we need to move in that direction.
Yeah, that's a good direction to go in. Then you can really leverage a lot of the power of CCK. The idea of submitting something as a node is a little bit of a hurdle to get over, but I think that it's okay and it works just fine for Drupal, and it's all good. Image module. There's a lot of infrastructure around image module. Blah, 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 blah. Image field, image cache, rocking your world. Tell them Lullabot sent you. Event module, don't do it. Just if you get into date field and CCK and using the calendar module to display those things, I guess calendar module also replies on views. If all of that sounds too complicated just for me explaining it to you after you've listened to this entire damn podcast, what are we, like an hour and a half into the podcast? If you've gotten this far and you're still listening, you should probably use date field and calendar. If you're not listening, go with event module. It's going to be easy.
I just want to get statistics on how many people through the whole life of all these podcasts we've actually rendered unconscious.
a profile module. This is also part of core. Don't. If you can't, don't. But yeah, you know, it's there. It's there. You can. It's part of core. I don't know if it, I just don't think it should be part of core. It shouldn't be part of core the way it is. Taxonomy module is okay. Profile module, I think it needs some love. Node access modules, probably we shouldn't even be talking about node access modules on a deprecated podcast because I don't want to confuse people saying that node access modules are deprecated.
It's probably on the maybe misused list.
I mean, yes, the maybe misused. We'll put that on the maybe misused podcast. non-jQuery modules, beware. Because jQuery's sweeping the nation.
It's the busy bomb.
It's the future of the world. You need to just get on that bandwagon and ride, baby, ride. You know, about an hour and a half, we just get really punchy on the podcast. And then what else? We just added a few. Angie, any custom node type modules? Yes. And actions, also the way of the future. Please, we've been saying this for a long time now. Just figure it out.
Learn to love the actions.
Learn to love it. And we'll wrap it up there. And it's another
Lullabot
hugely long Lullabot podcast. We lost Robert Douglas about halfway through and we just kept going. But Angie, Byron, Jeff Eaton have managed to stay to the end. I'm Jeff Robbins. And thanks for listening. Go take a nap. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.